Hello everyone, Neil Patel here, thank you for downloading the latest episode of the Indian Startup Show. So in this week's episode, I chat to Vishal Shah. He's the founder and CEO of Hot Chef. So Hot Chef is a unique meal kit concept. So they send out a box of pre-measured labeled ingredients, along with easy to follow step-by-step instructions on putting together a truly gourmet dish in your home kitchen, which sounds pretty cool. And they're doing it really well, doing a couple of thousand orders a month. So prior to founding Hot Chef, Vishal was an investment banker based in New York and London, working with a multinational bank for over a decade. So talk about what inspired him to do this. His life on Wall Street, the vision of the company, to mistakes he sees first-time founders make, and plans for the future, and much, much more. So please enjoy the show. Hello, Vishal. Thanks for coming on the show today. Much appreciated.
Thanks, Neil.
Tell me a little bit about yourself and what you're doing, please. Sounds interesting.
Sure. In my current role, I'm the founder and CEO of Hot Chef. It's a meal kit delivery service currently in Mumbai, where in India, where we send measured ingredients, pre-proportioned ingredients, everything that is needed to prepare a particular dish, exactly measured for 2, 4, 6, and so on people. And it goes with step-by-step instructions with how to cook a recipe within 30 minutes. All our dishes are exotic, restaurant quality meals with ingredients which are seasonal, hard to find, or very expensive, which doesn't make sense procuring in bulk and then worrying about shelf life. So that's the basic premise. We're trying to take the legwork out of the cooking process. And by that, I mean the menu planning, the grocery shopping, the measuring of the ingredients, and only the fun cooking part, which is the more interactive part, is what we leave to our consumers. And make the whole process really fast, fun, and easy.
Excellent. So it's like a DIY do-it-yourself type.
It is exactly, yes. Excellent. It is a DIY kit, and it's in a way cooking for dummies as well. Mm-hmm. And the end result, there's really very little margin for error. We give very detailed step-by-step instructions. You just follow them if you're a novice cook. If you're a more experienced cook, you can make some improvisations, and the end result in either case is fantastic.
Mm-hmm. So everyone loves a journey. How did yours start then?
Yes. So I used to be a banker before. I used to work on Wall Street in New York for about 10 years, advising technology companies on mergers, acquisitions, and forth. But during my tenure as a banker, I got an opportunity to travel the world, food has always been a passion. Mm-hmm. I love food and I love cooking as well. And, there was always this thing that since I love cooking, I would try to cook at home for me and my wife. And there was always this issue of either we are buying too many ingredients which are going waste, or we are cooking way too much food just for the two of us and we're left with a lot of leftovers. And we looked for services where we could only get what we really need without really spending a bomb on these expensive ingredients. And we did come across a couple of these services and were really impressed with how easy they made cooking. Back home in India, there was the whole food scene over the last 3 to 5 years has completely transformed. We have Michelin star chefs from all over the world come up and set up restaurants here. Food is something that Indians take very seriously, spend a lot of money on. Yep. And the Indian consumer has also, there's been a whole behavioral change where they become much more experimental with their food options. Just an extension of how they've been traveling to more exotic and offbeat places. Mm-hmm. And that exposure has led to them also being more experimental with food. And finally, just the popularity of food shows like MasterChef, which is highly popular here, which led to me getting convinced that this is a great service for the Indian market. Mm-hmm. I always wanted to do something entrepreneurial after having worked in banking for 10 years. Mm-hmm. And I decided to do something that I'm really passionate about. Food was the top of the list. Mm-hmm. And then decided to sort of set up this venture here back in India.
Excellent. So how long has this been going on then? And can you share some stats? How many meals have you delivered and stuff like that?
We've been about 15 months old.
Yeah.
The first 6 months was more just educating the customer. For me, actually, just getting used to a running a venture and that to a food venture, which was a completely new thing for me, working in India. So there were a lot of firsts, but the first 6 months was more about just getting used to everything, getting the operations, the logistics right. So we've had about, I would say, a little under 10 months of actual operations. And we're doing a couple thousand meals a month and all of this without no advertising whatsoever. You know, it's a new concept for the Indian market. Mm-hmm. And we're relying on, it's a bootstrap venture as well. So I'm investing heavily on the infrastructure and on the core product. And we're trying to do advertising and social media marketing and all that in a very smart way. But we're primarily relying on word of mouth publicity, which has worked really well for us. So, you know, we have a tremendous growth in the number of customers that we are serving, the areas. Now we've started covering all over Mumbai. We started with just a few pockets of what were the places where there's a customer concentration of this kind of offering. But now we've expanded to the entire city that we deliver our meal kits. And now we are also looking at expanding at a couple of neighboring cities.
I mean, how long did it take you to get your first customers, and how did that feel?
So thankfully it was a lot of friends and family that tried out the product. So from our first day of launch, we had orders. We'd done a dry run last summer with about 75-80 people, because again, given I was away from the country for almost a decade, I wanted to ensure that this is a service that would have some value proposition for customers. I've seen it in the American mindset. I've seen it in the European context as well, where these kind of offerings have worked extremely well. But again, I wanted to just ensure that the Indian customer is ready for it. So we did a dry run with some boxes and almost 75-80 people. We sent out some boxes and took their feedback, and they loved it. So there was already, and they were just waiting for us to sort of launch full scale. But I think post three and a half months, word started really spreading. We were covered by a lot of media publications and, interviewing on the radio and things like that. I had a PR firm which does a great job in terms of finding out the right collaborations and whom to tie up with, where to get the maximum visibility out of. Early on, I also participated in a lot of food pop-ups and exhibitions where people could actually see the product firsthand, given again the newness of the concept. And that really helped in just people getting to see it and then just getting so much more confident in trying out our offering.
Interesting. I'm interested to know who your main customer is. Is it like families or students or working professionals?
Working professionals is the primary target. Again, people who've had that kind of familiarity of international cuisines, foods of the world, they've traveled enough, but at the same time, they are stressed for time given their working schedules and everything. So that has been the primary target customer. But having said that, we've had a lot of housewives, a lot of kids, again, given the popularity of a MasterChef Junior, who suddenly there's been this renewed interest in cooking. You know, unfortunately in India, if you rewind back to like about 7-10 years, cooking has been a taboo. But now people are again finding that they want to experiment with cooking on their own. They're not just relying on takeaways, and home cooking is to an extent the same usual, and they want a change every now and then. And that's where someone like us steps in, where we give them everything on the platter, but they still get the gratification of cooking a meal from scratch.
Cool. I mean, how big do you want to go with this? Obviously, is in Mumbai. Do you have plans to expand?
Absolutely. So as I said, we hopefully in the next couple of months should be present in at least one more city, and then a couple of areas that are on outskirts of Mumbai, but are expanding at a very fast pace. So we're looking at those areas as well. And then over the 6 to 8 months, the plan is in the next 3 years to have a pan-India presence. And, you know, that's where this model really kicks in, because we have a state-of-the-art web interface for our customers. Mm-hmm. We develop recipes, and all we need is, these physical kitchens in 6-7 cities, which could serve the main core city, the tier one city, and a couple of tier two cities around them.
How do you keep the food fresh then?
So we have a couple of things. We have these foods grade boxes, which lock the entire freshness of the ingredients. But more importantly, all our boxes go with ice gel packs that have at least a 6 to 8 hour shelf life of keeping the food fresh at room temperature. And then again, we put these boxes in thermocol boxes. So and typically, these boxes reach anywhere from one point to another in Mumbai. They reach within a maximum of 4 hours. So we've never had an issue. And then once the customer refrigerates these boxes, they can be used up to 4 days.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. And how big is the team?
We are about 18 people and expanding rapidly.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And what do you look for when you're hiring people?
It's mainly the commitment and the dedication with which, given a startup, I personally spend a lot of time with them. You know, if I try to gauge if they have an attention to detail, you know, the Indian customer, like a lot of other customers, is extremely demanding. And given a lot of the ingredients are going raw, the one thing that I emphasize or I couldn't emphasize more with my employees is just the attention to detail and the focus on freshness and the high quality of ingredients. Mm-hmm. And then it's just the attitude, really. See, this is not a very, it's not really a white collar job. There aren't really any skills. At the end of the day, we are, For the most part of the team, we are just collecting ingredients and packing them in Ziploc bags and putting them in a box. So what really comes is the attitude, where what is typically required in a startup, that there is no job role, everything. If need be, I need to mop the floors as well. If need be, I need to go and deliver the box as well to a customer. So that openness is something that I really look for from all my employees.
What do your friends and family think of this? Because I think, didn't you like quit your job to do this? What was their reaction?
Yeah, I mean, they were a little bit surprised, but not so surprised, just given they all quite know my passion for food. And now having, obviously, there was some sort of, a rebuttal from especially my parents, that are you sure you're giving up a very attractive Wall Street career? You're moving from New York to Mumbai. So there were a lot of things that were going in the opposite direction. But at the same time, they were very supportive. They had all their faith in me. And now, you know, my friends have been great ambassadors for me, trying to spread the word. And, you know, it's moments like these when you get appreciation from your friends and your customers that you feel that the journey is so much more exciting.
What is Wall Street like? I mean, obviously, I watched the films, read the books, but, you know, what's it really like?
There is a lot of indulgence. A lot of what is shown in the movies is unfortunately true. But at the same time, I don't regret a single minute of my 10 plus years in working, because I think just the whole experience of being involved in things that make headlines on the newspaper the next day, some of the most life transforming transactions for companies that you are advising, going in as an expert when you're a banker, or let's say you're a sales and trading guy, you have these difficult targets to meet. So there's a lot of pressure. And the one thing that I have learned the most is the ability to deal with multiple deadlines and deal with pressure and just come out on top of that. It sort of prepares the confidence that I was able to leave my job and get into completely out of my comfort zone into something that I've never dealt with before was just because of the fact that I knew that, no, I've worked on multiple deals together. I've traveled and at the same time gotten things done. And it's all possible if you have a good team. So, you know, there were some really great learnings. It also teaches you how commitment and dedication are an important part. The attention to detail. I was lucky enough to work with some really good guys who I'm still in touch with. They're great mentors from me. And the whole aspect of, you know, Wall Street and advisory and all this has become a commodity in today's time. But the attention to detail and the philosophy that your customer or your client is the king is something that I've really learned there. And I try to imbibe a lot of that into my learnings here. And I can really see how that is setting us different at a higher level than our competition.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. You talked about learnings. What would you say is the most surprising thing about your entrepreneurial journey so far? Anything that surprised you?
I think what was difficult after having worked for 10 years in a corporate setup and back to in the US, coming back to India, I guess it was difficult to just get adjusted to the lower levels of professionalism, unfortunately, here. And more importantly, you know, I sort of got spoiled over the years there where, you know, there was a printer issue. I just had to call help desk and somebody would come and fix it. Here, as an entrepreneur, you cannot more often than not afford these kind of luxuries, and you're trying to get a solution for everything indigenously. You have to do it by yourself because every penny counts. So I think the biggest learning was that how you have to be a master, a jack of all, and also getting work out of people who are at a different level. You know, when you're working in a corporate culture versus working with the blue-collared workers that I mentioned about, it's a different tack as to how to extract work from them. It's a different way how you incentivize them. How do you, you know, especially when you're working for a startup and there are always question marks on whether things will work out or not. That's been the biggest challenge and the biggest learning as well.
Okay. Let's talk about marketing, because obviously you've got the website. I mean, how do you go about marketing the website? How do you get customers to the website? Is it SEO? Is it offline? Is it
So we've been very heavy on social media advertising right from day one. And the other thing, so on Facebook and Instagram today, thankfully, we have tools where there could be a lot of targeted marketing. And that helped us spread the word. We would also send flyers out in newspapers to specific communities within the city where we thought our target population was. Then I said we participated in food exhibitions and pop-ups where people got to see the product. And, just word of mouth is something that has really played a big role for us. We ensured that the product that goes to the customer really high quality one, and we've seen how they have been great ambassadors for us to help us spread the word.
Excellent. I mean, how do you decide what meals to offer?
Yeah, so a lot of it is that's the most exciting part about my job, because I'll like, hey, I've tried that one sandwich while I was traveling to Tokyo, and I really think we could, the Indian customers would love it. So at some instances, it is trying to change the ingredients a little bit to adapt more to the local taste. But I work with a very interesting panel of chefs here who are working in high-end restaurants. Again, we also work globally. I have an in-house team of chefs, and every 2 weeks we have a sit down in terms of what is the seasonal produce right now. Is there a particular thing, like let's say Brussels sprouts are in season, or fennel bulb is in season, so let's try to incorporate that in the recipe. Now these are things that are not available across the city, and there are only the wholesale markets that are available at there, and the equivalents of the Waitrose or the Whole Foods here are extremely expensive. Just because of the high overhead costs they have. So the penetration rate of these high-end grocery stores is very low, just because a lot of people cannot afford them. And that's what we really try to do, is incorporate those ingredients. We try to also incorporate a menu that takes into account any festival. So let's say there's the Chinese New Year, then we try to have a menu that is predominantly Asian, just to celebrate that. Now, for the monsoons, we have plans for coming up with an entire soup range that our customers are just going to relish when it's raining. So we try to take a combination of things, seasonality, any festivities going on, and more importantly, just things that I have tried or some of the team members have tried, and we try to experiment. The good thing is we have a dynamic menu. It changes every month. So it does give us the luxury of being a little experimental, that, hey, if our customers like it, great. Otherwise, we can always change it with something else. And we try to be unconventional in that space.
Yeah, what would you say is the overall vision of the company?
Yeah, I think, this is going to be a 3 to 5 year journey as a product. Meal kits get established as something regular in people's food choices. And that's the timeline that we are also looking where we expand, we build on a brand as the premier provider of meal kits and have a pan-India presence where we are pretty much, having presence across all the four corners of the country and tie up with, logistics partners, tie up a lot with the farmers and directly cut the middlemen and try to bring as fresh and organic produce to our end customer is basically the vision.
Cool. Obviously, there's a lot of food startups in India. I mean, how would you sort of, what would you say is your USP or how would you stand out from the crowd?
I think just the getting a particular product. So what our USP really is that the same restaurant quality meal can be recreated at home under 30 minutes.
Yep.
So that satisfaction of cooking a meal from scratch, knowing that what your kids are eating is something really healthy. You've seen the quality of the raw ingredients, what's going in, which unlike a restaurant meal, you cannot get to judge that. I think that's what sets us apart. And it's only a period of time when people get used to the 30, 40 minutes of cooking. But at least, also they get the opportunity to experiment with ingredients that otherwise are not easily available, or they would not have tried with those just because they don't know how to cook them. With us, they get a lot of these opportunities that, hey, you know what, I'm going to be given instructions. I just have to follow them. And if I don't like, I'm not going to be left with a box full of an exotic product that I don't know what to do with.
Last few questions then.
Sure.
What's the startup scene like in Mumbai? I mean, do you get help and support?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, especially with the Prime Minister, Mr. Modi, there's a lot of impetus on startup. The investor community is extremely, there's a lot of activity going on there. There's a lot of money to be invested. And there are these highs and lows where there are times when, investors get more cautious, but more often than not, the mood is extremely positive. The government has come up with a lot of rules and regulations to set up companies. They're trying to ease the whole process for startups, giving them tax incentives. And I think the one big change that I'm seeing coming back to India is that people in general are also extremely helpful. I've come across some really good mentors who are going out of their way to, they know I'm not from the industry, they don't know me from before, but during our interactions, they've offered to help me with any issues. And then there's a lot of encouragement and, that sort of support that is being provided by the industry leaders. And I think that is something that's really impressive.
Because you're bootstrapping this, and obviously there's a lot of food startups that have been funded. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That obviously went bust. what's your view on that then?
Yeah, I mean, I've always been of the view that, getting investor money and sort of throwing it away on just marketing, having billboards across the city or doing newspaper ads is not really a good use of money. I firmly believe that you need to build a brand for customers to be less price sensitive, because at some point, the discounting is only going to work so much. And at the end of the day, the customers will pay a premium only if you offer a good product. And it's going to be a slightly longish journey, but one that I'm more convinced about that, we'll make it to the end just if we focus on the core product and if we try to incorporate our customers' feedback, what are they looking for, trying to correct just giving them an end-to-end seamless experience. So, it is scary when you've seen millions of dollars being invested in some startups and in 1 year from getting their third round of funding, they start shutting operations. So all that is scary. But in a way, it also reinforces the fact that, there's a particular way you just focus on the product, focus on your customer, and everything else will follow.
Excellent. And obviously, you've probably dealt with a lot of first-time CEOs and first-time founders. I mean, what mistakes do they make that you've seen?
I guess, I've never focused on... I guess everybody makes their own mistakes. You have to go through that journey. And I've read somewhere that you're not doing a good job as an entrepreneur if you're not making enough mistakes, which means you're not trying enough. But I guess overall, just getting too attached. The one thing I hear a lot from some of the people, some of my clients that I've worked with, is that sometimes they get too attached to their product and are difficult to, they're not too okay making changes to the core product. And that's something I keep telling me that, you know, just keep getting customer feedback. If I think something is good, but the customers are not liking it, we need to keep changing. Mm-hmm. So I guess not being sentimentally, I mean, obviously, as an entrepreneur, you're very passionate about your offering, but at the same time, you need to take into account what your customer feedback is and try to tweak the product, you know, as and when required.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Who are your business heroes?
You know, I obviously, I've been a tech banker. So I follow a lot of people from the technology community. Obviously, Bill Gates, Mark Zuckerberg, you know, all these guys have set up great examples. And then back home here also, we have some of the best industrialists in the country who've started from nothing, be it the Ambani brothers. You know, so there isn't really a hero per se, mm-hmm. but I've been inspired by a lot of people across the journey.
Excellent. And do you have any like favorite books or blogs you want to share with our listeners?
I love to read, go through a lot of cookbooks. You know, Otto Lenghi, especially from the UK, mm-hmm. is you know, I love his work, especially the Nopi Restaurant in Piccadilly is one of my favorites. So I go through a lot of them. The food and wine books are amazing. So these are the kind of books that I spend my time reading, trying to come up with. Getting inspiration for what recipes I want to cook up.
Excellent. I just want to ask you some quick fire questions now. Mm-hmm. Are you a morning person or a night person?
I am a morning person.
Okay. Are you a coffee person or a tea person?
Tea.
Okay, cool. And what's the first thing you do when you wake up in the morning?
I have a warm glass of lemon water.
Cool. And what is on your home screen?
My wife and my kid, my recently born two-week-old kid.
Okay, cool. What's your favorite possession?
My wife. If I can call her a possession. But yeah, she's the reason I'm doing what I'm doing is all thanks to her. She's the one pushing me to go try this out. And I really owe it to her. It wasn't an easy decision.
What's your favorite meal, just out of interest?
Pizzas. I can have pizzas 365 days a year. It's that simple.
Okay, cool. Actually, we have a lot of listeners outside India who may want to visit India for some time. I mean, what can you recommend them to eat for a first time?
The street food. You don't have any inhibitions. You know, a lot of the street food has really gotten sophisticated over the years. And we have some amazing, amazing street food that you can enjoy in a very sort of a sophisticated environment. It's all hygienic. So the vada pav, which is the equivalent of a burger. Mm-hmm. And again, the food in India, again, varies significantly as you move from one state to another, especially from the east to the west and the north to the south. So each region has its own speciality. South Indian food, again, which is getting very popular in the UK, is also something that's really great. And so it depends on what state you are, but some of the best foods is every state, every region has their version of street food. And that is something that you get to get the best flavors, the most local ingredients, and something that the locals enjoy. And what I try to do when I travel is always look at, you know, where do the locals eat? What are the kind of staple food habits of the locals and try to get that experience, because that's how you can really know a place.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Last question. If people want more information on Hot Chef and yourself, what must they do?
They should just Google us up. Our website is hotchef.in. It's hotechef.in. There's a lot of press publications and interviews that I have given. You know, otherwise, I'm just an email away. There's an email section on the website where they can reach out. And I personally read all of them. I do read all of them. And, you know, if they would like to know more, I'll be happy to spend the time.
Brilliant. Thanks for coming on the show today, Vishal.
My pleasure, Neil. Thanks.
I know you're busy and I wish you all the best. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Thank
Cheers.
You. Cheers, mate. Thanks. So That's Vishal. And if you are pressed for time and hungry, then you can go to his website, www.hotchef.in. That's the end of the show. If you liked it, please leave a rating and review of the show. Just search for The Indian Startup Show on iTunes, Stitcher, and Overcast. We're also on Pocket Casts, Downcast, Instacast, Pocket Cast, and Apple TV. If you have any feedback on the show, please send me an email, hello@neilpatel.co, or tweet at Indian Startup SH, or you can go to facebook.com/Indian Startup Show. We'd love to connect. Thank you and goodbye.